Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. Thank you for coming back to my channel. In this, I'm talking about the possibility of Belarus being forced into Russia. Now remember, Belarus was part of the Russian Empire for centuries, part of the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth at times. They said that Belarusians didn't even realize they're Belarusians in many cases until the 1920s, until the Belarusian Soviet Socialist Republic was formed as part of the USSR. So townsfolk spoke Russian, people in the countryside spoke Belarusian. Is it a dialect of Russian or not? I mean, some of the words are identical or as close as it makes the difference. Some of them are, how would I put it, contextually deducible to someone who speaks even bad Russian like me. Some of them are unique words from Polish, Ukrainian, and so forth. Belarus became independent again in 1991, having briefly been independent just after the October Revolution. And then Lukashenko took over. And then in 1999, he signed an agreement with President Boris Yeltsin of the Russian Federation of the Union State, and that Belarus would eventually achieve full absorption into Russia. And it hasn't happened, something which has frustrated Putin. They've been selling cut price oil and gas to Belarus, which then Belarus exports at a profit to the West, and that's it. Then Lukashenko even jailed people for proposing doing exactly what he promised to do, which is joining Russia. So it's a very oppressive state. You know, they say it's like preserved in aspic from the Soviet Union. And anyway, it's part of the Collective Security Treaty Organization, and indeed the Eurasian Economic Union. That's Russia's pathetically small answer to the European Union. So the Russian military base is there, and it was a jumping off point for Russian forces to attack Ukraine from the north, because almost doubled the amount of land through which they could invade. So it was obviously the longer the perimeter you got to defend, the harder it is for the Ukrainians. But Belarusian forces themselves didn't go. Some people dispute that, say very few of them joined, because a few Belarusians joined the Russian army. But Lukashenko pretends to be neutral in this war. There have been sanctions against him as well as against Russia. Russia is very supportive of them. I remember the 2020 fraudulent election. Lukashenko rigged, and Svetlana Tsikhanouskaya, she won. She's now in exile, mostly in Lithuania, someone who spent a lot of her formative summers in Ireland. Hurrah. But anyway, so she stood because her husband, who is an opposition figure, has been in jail for years for peaceful protests, for exercising his human rights. So it's really a dreadful regime. But now Lukashenko saying that they won't be absorbed into Russia. Fascinating. Volodymyr Zelensky gave an interview a few days ago, said at the beginning of the war, he had a phone call with President Lukashenko of Belarus saying, like, why are you doing this? Missiles being fired for your territory. He said, yeah, well, sorry, that's not me. He actually apologized for it. Well, come on, you could have tipped him off, but okay, the Ukrainians could see this coming. You could have said, no, we're not going to cooperate. But Lukashenko said, you can't resist Russia. Well, it's difficult enough for Ukraine to resist Russia, but look at Belarus, they're outnumbered 14 to 1. So he says that he would fight if invaded by Russia. Russia's already got troops there, be very, very easy. Almost all their trade is with Russia now because of sanctions from Western countries. So what's Belarus going to do? Other things to take into consideration. I mean, I think a lot of Belarusians will be happy to unite with Russia. They're more Russian than the Russians. They often speak Russian more than they do Belarusian. Some Belarusians, even ethnic Belarusians, cannot speak the Belarusian language. And sometimes we even disapproved of if you spoke it. Say, well, let's just speak Russian. Are you trying to be difficult or hyper-nationalistic? But remember, on the second day of the war, the Russian government released this communique to the press saying, that's it. We've done it. We've reunited Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus, because they assumed they would conquer Ukraine very easily. It was just going to be an elongated victory parade to Kiev. And once done that, they would annex Belarus. How could Belarus resist? And then be attacked from the west as well as the south, and so on. So a Russian victory in Ukraine would spell the end of Belarusian statehood. Now, Lukashenko is so oppressive. He suffered these sanctions from Western countries. He's got nowhere else to turn. Why should China, Iran, or anyone help him? He's got almost no economic leverage with which to tempt them. So Lukashenko is saying that if Russia tried to invade, that they would fight. Okay, they might fight, but they would be defeated. Was Belarus going to declare war on Ukraine as well? There was some speculation about that. The Russians need all the troops they could get, but the people say the Belarusian army, they've not fought since the Soviet era, since way back in the 80s, when they're part of the Soviet Union, Afghanistan. they're very poorly equipped, poorly led, poorly motivated, and all the rest of it, that they would mutiny. I don't know if that's true or not. So anyway, Lukashenko said it'd be foolish for the two countries to unite. But so, yeah, Putin needs them too. But, you know, Russia didn't go off after the easy target. Belarus had been quite easy to take over and nobody would come to their aid. And Lukashenko is possibly even more oppressive than Putin. So he's going to have this new charade of an election coming up with dummy opposition figures to do almost no campaigning, with any media coverage will just be vituperation. So I think you can bet the house on what the outcome of that one is going to be. Goodness. So, yeah, that's why, is he going to have to root for a Ukrainian victory? Now, if Russia is defeated in Ukraine, probably won't be an outright defeat, some sort of negotiation, unofficially allowed to keep a portion of Ukraine that they already control, something like that, a frozen conflict, peacekeepers from Western allies of the Ukraine or whatever, probably no reparations, prison to exchange. So, you know, Putin doesn't have that much to show for all the sacrifices, for something like 200,000 killed, for easily 500,000 wounded, for absolutely wrecking his economy. It's cost them hundreds of billions of dollars, at least. You might say, well, let's just invade Belarus, because what they're going to do, the sanctions are going to be even worse than they are at the moment. Who'd want to save his regime? But the trouble is, a country and a regime are not the same thing. On the other hand, Russia is keen to get the sanctions lifted as quickly as possible. Their economy may well tank in 2025. So Donald Trump coming into office very soon said to make peace within 24 hours, a lie, a promise that is not deliverable. And, you know, this is the guy who said he'd make medicines way better and make medicines way cheaper, that he would stop the carnage and stop all these mass shootings, that it would stop illegal immigration, that he would win a trade war against China, he would bring back these factory jobs, he would defeat the Taliban, he would defeat ISIS, and he didn't do any of it. Who would be stupid enough to trust the most dishonest person in the world? Answer: 51% of Americans. So he's a record of always overpromising and under-delivering. You can see that all through his entire business career. If you trust him, you ought to be awarded a degree from Trump University. Pump and dump. Right. So the thing is, I think the negotiations might be in several months. I don't expect peace within a day, maybe within a year. We shall see. They're both going to have a difficult time. I think the war will become less intense in the spring, partly because it's muddy, it's more difficult to move. As it's so frozen, you can move over the frozen ground. And obviously the summer is the height of the campaigning season. Russia cannot sustain this level of casualties, like almost 2,000 a day. That's not 2,000 dead, it's more like 500 dead, the rest wounded. Now, Ukraine is having serious difficulties as well, but the Russians don't have enough barrels for their howitzers, their tanks, they're wearing out. Even if there's a breakthrough in Ukrainian line, some sort of route, the Russians won't be able to exploit it by moving forward very fast because they just don't have enough tanks. I mean, they're not very good at rapid maneuver warfare, no initiative allowed. Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecalan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.